speaking of education, let's move on to New Zealand's underwhelming performance in an international education report, which has raised some eyebrows around the country. The Programme for International Student Achievement Report, or PISA, is a triennial study of 15-year-old students which measures aptitude in science, maths and reading, and also surveys student well-being. While New Zealand is doing relatively well academically, our scores have been steadily slipping over the years. When combined to the other OECD countries, we are in 8th place when it comes to reading, 7th in science, and 22nd when it comes to maths, which is around about the OECD average. However, there has been a steep drop over the past couple of decades. There are some appropriately complicated maths involved here, but the conclusion, according to the test, is 15-year-olds are about two-thirds of a year's worth of learning behind where their equivalents were in the year 2000. The top performing countries include China, which tops all three categories, though the test is only taken by students in four parts of China, along with Hong Kong, Macau, Singapore, Vietnam, Korea, Japan and Estonia, making an appearance up the top there. Briar Lipson is a research fellow at the NZ Initiative, and she joins us on the line now. Briar, kia ora.
Kia ora, Emil. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Now, what do you make of all of this?
Well, you did a great synopsis there. I mean, the overall story is that New Zealand continues to decline, both absolutely and in the league tables of performance. And as you said, you know, this huge report, the OECD do great work to really get to the bottom of this. But the most worrying thing from my perspective is that our ministry and educational elite continue, as they have done every 3 years since we began this program of assessment in the early 2000s and have slipped ever since then, they continue to bury their heads in spin and nonsense explanations, rather than confronting the deeply entrenched ideas and myths that underpin too much of education in New Zealand. That's my real concern. And we should, you know, as taxpayers and parents, we should be incredibly grateful to the OECD for providing this information every 3 years, because it is actually, along with a similar assessment they do of little children's reading every 5 years, this is the only... hello?
Yes, hello. Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, sorry. The OECD provide the only reliable indicator of how standards are changing in New Zealand. Because, you know, NCEA scores, at the same time as our PISA data has just gone down and down and down for 18 years now, NCEA scores, since NCEA was introduced in the early 2000s, The data just looks better and better and better, and the graph is up and up and up. And that's because NCEA, which is our only national assessment, masks such vast variation in what children have actually achieved that we have no idea what's going on until this data finally hits.
But Briar, perhaps one of the reasons that this is the only resource is because it's such a difficult job comparing completely different and disparate education systems from dozens and dozens of different countries.
Exactly, you're right, and that's why it's difficult to do it internationally. But we could do it far better nationally. In most countries, they have a national assessment that enables them to see year on year how things are moving. But unfortunately, of course, NCEA, although it has gone up and up and up from about 2004 up to 2016, and it's kind of plateaued since then, that unfortunately is masking huge variation in what children have learned. So finally, with PISA, we get a reliable measure of the core subjects of science, reading, and math, which all children should be having the chance to master in school. So it's wonderful that we have this information. And the challenge then is what we do with what we find. And unfortunately, in the last 2 days, since it was released, the minister has explained that his main takeaway from these findings is that national standards were a failure. You know, this is a completely spurious argument at this stage, because national standards were introduced in 2010.
But I just want to come to us. I mean, do you consider this a good reading of where New Zealand's education system is at? I mean, even this test, the PISA test, 5 years ago, more than 100 academics around the world called for a moratorium on this test, saying that there is an over-reliance on testing and a tendency to recommend simple solutions for complex problems. I mean, is this test worth the paper that it's written on?
I mean, educational outcomes will always be difficult to measure. And so we will always be looking at proxies for ultimately the purpose of education. You know, the long-term purpose of education is to create fulfilled, knowledgeable, flourishing individuals. And those are wonderful, lofty aims that are incredibly impossible to measure. So ultimately, we always end up measuring proxies. But whether children can read and do basic maths and science are pretty good proxies for some of the things that we want schools to be able to do. Nobody is saying that that's all we want from schools, because we want children to be able to be perseverant and generous and grateful and kind and lots of other things. But actually, the skills we want, what get called 21st century skills, things like critical thinking, problem solving, deciphering fact from fiction, those things all rely on our core knowledge of literacy, of maths, of science. And it's a misnomer to think that you can teach those skills and develop them in the abstract. And PISA are clear that their assessments are not just of kind of rote learning of maths. Children have to be able to perform problem solving and apply their learning and extrapolate between subjects. So, you know, they're not just narrow assessments of knowledge. These are quite... They're quite effective at giving us a grasp of what children have learned.
All right. Interesting stuff. Thank you very much, Briar Lipson from the NZ Initiative. Now, I think I'm right in saying both of you have kids. Mark Sainsbury, I mean, do you get the impression that kids these days, children, are less academically capable than previous generations?
God, you know, are they listening? Well, see, I've got twins, and it's interesting. I mean, but they were completely different in terms of how they, you know, their academic sort of bent sort of played out. My daughter was an avid reader. She was, you know, Hunter was completely the opposite. Look, I was glad you asked, because I was so pleased you asked that question, Emil. I mean, how do we know this thing is actually worth the paper it's written on? Because this is what it all comes down to, isn't it? We're constantly given these things saying, you know, this shows we're crap at this, or we've dumped this, or we've gone downhill and whatever. And then you think, and you sort of take it quite often at face value, but you need to go, well, what's the efficacy of the study? You know, are we just being frightened into something else? And we're obsessed with these league tables.
And I wasn't sure exactly what she wanted as an alternative. Probably should have asked.
Well,
indeed,
that was my fault. I should have asked. But I do remember reading her release speaking about the benefits of teacher-led schools and teacher-led curriculum, in the sense that the teacher has the input rather than it being student-led. I know that was an element of the NZ Initiative's viewpoint on it. I mean, do you have thoughts on that, Catherine?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you know, I can only compare my education in the 80s to my boys' education in the sort of 2000s. And I think, to be honest, they probably had a better one. Because,
you reckon?
Well, because ours was so, you know, I did school certificate and university entrance. I was in one of those sort of brighter classes, but I wasn't one of the brightest girls in the class. And I was forced into doing a bunch of things that I, you know, that I just really wasn't cut out for. And I didn't get enough, you know, good tutoring. If it wasn't basically for Miss O'Connor in fifth form, I would never have passed school C maths. She was awesome. But then I had a terrible teacher in sixth form. Don't know why I kept it up to sixth form, but I did. And I failed completely. Didn't get it. I got accredited UE by the skin of my teeth.
Mm. Yeah, but that's, look, I'm right with you. I had a very similar sort of path, but probably a decade earlier than you, Catherine. But, you know, and it's depended so much on what teachers you got and whether you got energised into doing something. But then I look at my kids, and they were looking at their sort of final ones. There was drama, relationship building or something like that, for God's sake. I was looking at all these things and thinking, oh, you could do, I mean, you know, drama, PE, mentoring or peer. My instant reaction was, what a load of
But rubbish.
I guess the school kind of, you know, they shape, and the school that my sons went to was quite good at working with the students to make sure that they did go down productive paths, and there were certain options that they couldn't take if they didn't do certain other options, you know what I mean?
But, you know, when we got force-fed that, you know, I had to do Latin, for God's sake.
I loved Latin.
In the fifth form, and with school C and all these sort of different things. But it seemed it was much more structured and regimented, if you like, you know. Did it make us any better? How did we come out of it better than our own kids? And that's always the test.
I didn't learn to critically think until probably I left university and went to work.
I thought you were going to say until I started coming on the panel.
Until she got a residency in Victoria.
Yeah, that's right. I better start.
I do want to ask you about this aspect of this report. One of the more chastening aspects, really, is student well-being. And we are, according to this report, the fifth worst country of those surveyed in terms of reported bullying among 15-year-olds, and we are also not flash in terms of truancy. Some 30% of students say they skipped a class in the 2 weeks prior to this test. Those are not good numbers, Mark.
No, and I was trying to, I mean, looking at that, I was trying to sort of think back, you know, sort of what it was like in... I mean, there was always a few who would sort of skip school a lot. See, what it's, and the other thing with this, that whole study, you know, because, and this is the thing that why it becomes so complicated. On the face of it, you know, our numbers have actually gone up until you dig down into the research and show, well, no, the gap is closed, but that's only because the top has actually fallen. We haven't actually got any higher. We've just got closer to the ones ahead of us because they've dropped down. This is the problem with all of this, and people read into things whatever they like. And you know, we're looking at more reviews now over education. We'll go through this whole thing again, and the whole system will be thrown up again, and then in another 5 years can be told, well, no, that was completely wrong, and we've let down all these kids, we've sort of changed the system around. We want to end up as being, exactly as Catherine said, as critical thinkers, that education process helps us reach that point. And it's not necessarily going to be when we graduate from high school or even from university. It could take longer, but this is the sort of the building blocks.
Well, my concern is that, I mean, and I haven't had a look at the results of the test in detail, but a lot of these things, they measure outcomes, they measure things, but they never get digged down to why things happen.
Mm. Yeah.
So if bullying is going up, why is that happening? Why are they asking?
And that's one of the issues with an international kind of test is that actually it's not that helpful to individual countries.
It is not helpful because cultural, you know, contextual, environmental, social, etc., things go into it. So, you know, factors influence it.
There's one other thing, which is my little sort of, you know, hobby horse thing, is the first 1,000 days. There's been the research which says the first 1,000 days of a human being's life is what sets the template for the rest of it. And that's why, you know, we had all this thing with paying teachers more and quite agree, but early childhood education, that sector has such an influence on how our kids are going to be. And that longitudinal study in Dunedin has proved all that the things that happen in that first 1,000 days are critical to what happens to our development of our kids. So it could well be the stuff that we're talking about and looking at now, it's all too late in any case, because we missed that early opportunity to set these things in place.
Those are the tests that we should be looking at.
It's the first 1,000 days. There was a campaign that started. There's some fantastic couple, Chloe and Wayne Wright, who got into this. But the thing is, we dismiss that, don't we? And we've got to get started.
Very, very interesting stuff.